IATSE Local 891 presents Apple Box Talks,
the podcast where we get to talk to the very best in entertainment, the artists and technicians of 891.
From prep to post and everything in between, we create worlds on screens of all sizes. Welcome to Apple Box Talks. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Hillary. Today we're joined by a member who is a gifted artist with credits to their name such as C, Wayward Pines, and the BFG.
We welcome Paint Department member Taze Powell. So pull up an Apple Box and let's talk.
Welcome, Taze.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in today on a Saturday.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about just how you got into film.
Yeah, so my neighbor was, he's one of the best scenic artists that I know in the industry, very talented man. And I would often see him and we'd talk about our different talents and would show him my art and he would show me his different work that he does. And he would always talk about his career in film. And I've always been a theatrical, artistic kind of person. So I was always wanting to get into the film industry in one way or another. And so through my friendship with him, one thing led to another, and it got me in the door.
How did you first start out in art?
I think mostly influenced from my mother. She's an artist as well and a florist, and it was just sort of, it was an artistic household, you know. It was always sort of a hobby that I developed from a very young age, and it just sort of went from there. I started with more sort of abstract mixed mediums, even doing collage work, and we would do different kinds of just all kinds of different wall hangings, you know, using scrap materials, using wires or tin cans, anything you can think of really just to make something creative. So started from that sort of abstract phase, and as I got older and more serious in school with it, it just kept me growing as an artist.
And so you're a fairly accomplished fine artist now. And I'm going to read a quote that I found online about how it is you work. And this is from your visual artist walk and talk tour of your Melancholy series. So it says, Taze Powell paints with the intention of capturing his subject's state of mind. Sometimes the work has a mood of melancholy or joy, sometimes pain, but it's always powerful. His paintings are a visual journey that explore these emotions, senses, and expressions.
Wow.
Well, and I find that pretty incredible because you would likely bring that to your work as a painter in the film industry. And what I found really interesting about what you were saying was that each painting is a window, and think of that window as having its own sort of expression, its own tone, its own scene. Can you tell us how that kind of transfers into your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for me, when I approach a movie set, I try and look, or a film set, I try and look at it the same way that I would look at a canvas doing a painting. So as the quote sort of described, I guess I'm a very passionate painter, and I like to delve into emotions, feelings, and see if I can try and capture those sensations on a canvas. And so when I approach a film set, it's very much the same approach of trying to use that sort of artistic approach as if I'm painting a picture, but just taking it to a big scale. And obviously it's different methodology, different techniques, and different finished product, but it's often the same artistic process.
And can you think of a specific show where you may have done something where you applied that and you were like, yeah, I did that?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. You know, C was really fun because we a lot of what we did was, I guess you could say, kind of cowboy, we call it. So sort of we were dealing with challenging conditions, challenging environment. And so, you know, you have to sort of pull a rabbit out of a hat sometimes with that. And I felt like with that show, you could really feel the scenery and the sets. You could really feel them. They really contributed strongly to the finished product.
So a lot about film production and kind of that peeking behind the curtain, there's a lot of illusion. And I think so often people don't realize how much is actually painted on a set. Can you talk a little bit about that learning curve for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When you approach a movie set, I guess the paint, we would call that like the final layer that the viewer gets to see. And so it's interesting because, like you said, not many people realize just how much paint's involved, but it covers so many different things. It could be rust. It could be aging, you know, to make something look dirty. And that layer that we add to the film set really can change what the viewer sees as a finished product. It can really, you know, it could, a bit of aging can really alter the mood of a whole entire scene. So there's so many different unique processes that we use and different products. And it's definitely a learning curve when you get into the business, because most people just see a TV show or a movie and they're watching the actors and they don't realize how much the set actually contributes to their viewing experience. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It does. My partner is a set builder, and often, especially when he first got started, because he came from the construction trades, not a film background, and so he would build a cupboard and would send me a before picture, and then after paint was done with it, it's suddenly a treasure chest that's got moss and gold and looks like it's this amazing artifact that was just build out of MDF scraps, right?
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely. When you see, I worked on a piece of a countertop for a show. I can't even remember what show it was, but anyways, I did this countertop and it was interesting watching how the carpenters, because you know, a lot of them don't necessarily see the next steps after it goes out of the carp shop. So for them, their eyes were open to, oh wow, because it just was a slab of wood when they were dealing with it, and it was a countertop when I was done with it.
So you also have done a few other things in your life. And I just want to know I'd like to know which semi-pro sport you played. But secondly, I'd love to know how, you know, that kind of skill set or mentality or way of thinking in sports has helped with working in film. Because I could imagine there's some really useful skill building in that.
Absolutely, yeah. So I played junior football. So it'd be the equivalent of like junior hockey for people who aren't knowledgeable about that. And anyways, so it team sports, intense environment, challenging all the time, and being pushed by those around you. It's very similar to the film environment. It's and also, as we all know in this business, nothing is guaranteed. There's always a level of uncertainty, and that's very similar with sports, where you're and this is a double-edged sword, you're only as good as your latest performance. And I say that in forked tongue, because it's good and it can be bad, because you know, we want a level of certainty with what we do, but at the same time, that's what maintains such a high level of quality of work, is that people are always pushed to perform.
Is there a certain genre of work that you feel drawn to or would like to develop in your career because of the opportunities it'll afford you as a painter?
That's an interesting question. Certain genres. I mean, I guess when, as I, now as an artist, to be honest with you, as a painter and as a scenic artist, I'm very much looking at growing into other fields, you know, for example, acting and transferring in front of the camera. But as a painter, when we're dealing with movie sets, we always love what we call scenic happy shows. So this is shows with lots of aging or very heavy sets. So shows where, you know, the viewer really does appreciate the value of a set. And a good example of that would probably be BFG. That was one of those mentioned. I mean, this is going back a few years, but all the sets were very heavily detailed. The bricks had multiple layer of bricks on the walls. The stone, cobblestone was, every stone had its own unique look, and just every set, as I go through in my mind, the beautiful trees that we did, and there was just so much layering, and as an artist, that's what we love. There's shows that are very plain Jane, as you could say. Like, we have shows that are where, you know, it's just we could be shooting in this office, right? And so it may be just painting the walls in the office. So as an artist, maybe that's not the funnest experience in the world, but it's those shows that really, you know, so stuff that maybe deals with fantasy. I remember years ago I worked on World of Warcraft, And so this is an example of one of those shows that's just super detailed and lots of really cool scenery and yeah. So as an artist, as a painter, those are the types of shows that excite me.
What do you see as some changes coming for the paint department as we see increasingly more digital settings? We don't really use giant matte paintings anymore the same way people used to, right? So how do you see it shaping?
Absolutely. I think what happens is now people have to be a little bit more dynamic. People have to be more, have a bit of a more diverse skill set. Because as you said, like, you know, for example, if you were just a sign painter that just did backdrops, well, that's, as you said, going to become a thing of the past. Like, you know, there's a lot of elements that are changing, and they're changing fast. And so now a lot more of what we do is on location. So that makes my job more interesting, because it becomes dynamics of how to present one location to look like another location, as opposed to doing a huge set in the studio. It's a changing world where we're all sort of, it's a little bit of an anxious process, I think, for some people who are used to just doing one thing, but it's a fun challenge.
I want to just circle back to something you mentioned, because you mentioned your neighbor who was a scenic painter, and that kind of piqued your curiosity. And I think that's a, you know, mentorship in general is really how you develop your skills, right? Or just finding someone who's willing to kind of teach you on the job or give you those helpful hints and that sort of thing. Can you tell us about that process, and also have you been that person to someone else?
Sure. So, you know, actually, you know, now that I'm doubling back here, when I look at the beginning of my career, I actually started, I first attempted to get into the film industry doing lighting, because a friend of mine that's what he did. And I totally forgotten about this, but anyway, we did the car show out in Abbotsford and at the TradeX, and I had sort of been trying, but I'd had a challenging time getting into the business. And that's where mentorship, as you say, is such a huge thing, because with Colin, my friend that was a scenic artist, he was able to do that. He was in a position to be able to, you know, support me and mentor me and basically get me in the door, and the rest was me. But that initial mentorship played a big role in my career. And so when you ask, have I done that now? It's something that I'm working on as often as possible. Whenever I have an opportunity, a position where I can pick or choose who I bring, I'm always trying to teach and share whatever I've learned, because I really believe, you know, I think there was once a time in the film industry, and I think in all industries, where information was like really guarded, and there was a bit of a fight sometimes to just get information. And I think that's changing. I think now as a community, as a film community, we're realizing that we all sort of need each other.
Yeah.
And as one of us rises, we kind of all rise. So I think I'm starting to see that changing, and that makes a big difference for sure.
So what do you look for in a new crew member when you're looking to build out your team?
For me, it's attitude is everything, and a person has to be willing to deal with the changes. This business is just 24-hour changes, everything, and it can change last minute. And a lot of people aren't used to that. If you come from the real world, they're not used to, you know, about to go to camera and all of a sudden, nope, the entire set needs to be aged, right? And so that kind of thing can be shocking for new people. So you always look for somebody who can really handle the change, who's malleable, who's willing to work and roll with the punches and work hard. And attitude is a lot. With the long hours and the pressures that we all know about in this business, if you're dealing with somebody who has a bad attitude, even if they have a huge skill set, it can really bring a crew down. So likewise, if you have somebody with a good attitude, even if they're just learning the ropes, like, I can teach people the basic stuff, but the attitude thing is something that's got to be born. So,
and I love your, describe yourself and your career in one sentence. A response to our pre-interview question. You said, a creative marauder on a long road to artistic glory. tell us what that long road is. What is that end goal?
That's funny.
I ask this question because there's a lot of filmmakers that work in the industry in construction or the office, et cetera, and they do the film work and they also have that, you know, that long road to their artistic glory also. So tell us what that is for you.
I definitely, as I mentioned before, I'm definitely looking at the acting side of things. I'm a theatrical person by nature, and it's something that I've started to dabble with. And so that's going to be something I'm going to be looking to transition, especially as we come into the new year here. So that's, as I said, as an artist, I look at my whole career as an artist also like a canvas, and I feel like I'm getting close to the point in the paint department where that picture is getting pretty close to being completed. And so that means I got to push myself to keep going. So that could be being a head of department, which I had the privilege of doing in the spring here, and in the summer I was able to coordinate a couple shows. And so that's part of it. But I also want to just keep moving forward. I as a fine artist, as you know, I had that my show back in the spring, Melancholy, at the Port Moody Arts Center, and I'm looking to keep moving forward in other galleries and just keep moving forward with that big picture.
And do you have any other galleries coming up?
Potentially, but I don't want to. I don't want to put anything out there yet.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm just curious because I don't know a lot about the paint department. We were talking about how certain departments have tricks of the trade that have become known. Is there a particular trick that you kind of always come back to, which might be surprising to listeners, like how you achieve a particular effect or something that they've seen on screen but might not realize how it got there?
Yeah, that's a great question. We use a lot of wax, beeswax, and a lot of wallpaper paste. For example, if we had to frost some windows really quick and I didn't have frosting, I would use wallpaper paste and just roll wallpaper paste right on the window and then wash it off afterwards. So that's a fun little trick for anybody who wants to frost their windows at home. The wax is cool because you can really... I mean, it's an art form, you know, painting with waxes, but the way we do it, we'll tint the wax and use it for different kinds of aging or different rust methods or moss. So there's a lot of little things that I could do real quick that all of a sudden make this table look mossy and old just with a little bit of wax and some tint. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the most fulfilling, rewarding project you've worked on.
I think the most fulfilling, rewarding project, that's a really good question. You know, there's so many that are fulfilling for different reasons.
Yeah.
When I was working on BFG, I had a chance to meet Steven Spielberg. That was pretty cool, and had a chance to work on some super artistic sets that were just visually so beautiful. However, I really didn't have a position of... you know, I didn't have the type of position that I would have now in my career. So that being said, it was rewarding in a different way. It was rewarding because the picture was so cool that we created. However, I've worked now as my career's progressed on shows that might not be as notable. They might not be as, you know what I mean? But my touch was so much that, you know, I was able to personally see that. So last year I worked on Omens, and that was cool because I had a good touch on all the sets, and I got really nice feedback from the designers and from the DOP, and that's always goes a long way.
You did mention Wayward Pines season 2.
Yeah, Wayward Pines was awesome. Wayward Pines was awesome. I got to work, I got to spend a little bit of time around an actor that I absolutely love. I'm not going to say any names. I was working as an on-set painter on Wayward Pines. So the role of the on-set painter is you're with the shooting crew, you're right on the monitors, you're with the directors, you're with the actors, and anything to do with paint that they could think to use you for, they'll call you and they need it done 10 minutes ago. So it's high pressure job. And it's a lot of times you might go a whole day and only get one call on the radio, but that call will be the call, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it is a big challenge, but that show was really cool. We got to do some really cool locations and just the... there was a certain energy on set. It's sometimes it's hard to describe. You know, you get around a certain group of people and it almost becomes a family all of a sudden. We've all been on shows, I'm sure, where suddenly, you know, you're best friends with somebody you've only known for a month or 2 months. And that show just had that element to it. So it was really cool.
That's a really good, great distinction, actually, that you make between the on-set painter and the offset painters, because some folks are terrified of being in an on-set, high-pace, high-pressure environment like it is when you're shooting crew.
Right.
But there are so many jobs that are offset, really, that anyone could, if they had a skill set, fit into. And then we're trying to demystify that for people with this work that we're doing. So,
right.
Yeah. So people should look at the collective agreement, the rates in the collective agreement as the, you know, this is the floor and I'm going to work here for a certain amount of time. And then I'm going to ask for more because you gain value, you gain valuable experience and that should be recognized, but you make a very good point. And that kind of leads into training, because I know we've offered the art of negotiation training before. Have you taken advantage of any of the other training courses that our unions offered?
I have taken advantage of the scenic artist training. So there's a scenic artist by the name of Joyce Woods, I believe. I don't want to get her name wrong, but I'm pretty sure her name is Joyce Woods, and she's an absolutely fabulous talent. And she, through the union, holds various courses. And I'm not sure if she's still doing it, but I know that there, if it's not her, that there's somebody along those lines that is teaching these courses. So these are courses to do with color. These are courses to do with marbling effects that you might see. So a few years ago, I was able to take one of her courses and I found it very helpful. And I would strongly recommend anybody who's looking to get into the paint department take advantage of that. Now, I know there's training, technical training and safety training. And some of those things I've been able to take advantage of. And I would strongly encourage new people coming in that more so now than in the past, that is very important to take full advantage of your lift tickets and your first aid level 2 and so on and so forth.
Is there a project that you've been particularly proud of to share with family members?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, last year I worked on Virgin River, and that was an interesting show because it it's very much I would call a sedated sort of show. It's not heavy on the violence. It's not, you know, it's just a show that almost anybody can watch. And it was very, very popular. It's doing very well. And so that was cool because I know a lot of people, my mother-in-law and my wife's family, and just a lot of people that really enjoy that show. And so it was cool because, hey, I'm like, hey, that was me. I did that. So that was cool. Yeah.
Tell us what it means to you and what it's meant to you to be a member of 891.
Yeah, it's been a huge privilege. It's been a challenge. You know, it's something that I'm proud of because we all earn our place here. I don't think everybody who's in this business has to earn it, for sure. And I think that gives a great deal of pride and sense of accomplishment, because if you're doing well in this business after years, you know, it's like, hey, well, I've earned it. I've worked hard and I've proven to people who have seen my work that I can, you know, do what I say. And so it's a big sense of accomplishment, I guess. It's also, you know, there's no doubt about it. It's a huge security blanket for a person like myself, a father. I have a family, I have a wife, I have a lot of responsibilities. And so it's nice being able to know that I'm part of a team, I'm part of a group, there's support, there's, you know, like last year we dealt with the unfortunate racial situations that are ever continuing in our world. And it was nice to see that, because a lot of us weren't working at the time, but yet we were coming together and talking about challenging issues and, you know, sort of working as a team, even though we weren't working, like none of us were getting paid, we were able to come together make a bit of a change, a bit of a difference. So I think that's huge.
So if you could work with any filmmaker, who would that be and why?
That is, yeah, wow. That's, it's a great question. You know, I believe I remember that question that had come up, and I think I answered Ridley Scott. And I've always, as a kid, I was always watching these old epic dramas, you know, like, you know, Spartacus and like the Ten Commandments, these old big, you know, big theatrical movies. And Ridley Scott does a lot of stuff like that. So I was always attracted to, you know, I always thought, oh, this would be awesome to work on something like this or be in something like this. There's also, you know, when I now that I think about it, I've always been a huge fan of Spike Lee. And I'm like, oh, man, how did I not say Spike Lee? Because his movies, like, you know, Do the Right Thing, and I could just go on and on. You know, Clockers, like, I'm a huge Spike Lee fan, and I love the way that he shoots his movies. It's a very, it's almost like you can tell that some of the scenes don't even have necessarily lines. He almost just sets up the scenes and just allows a lot of, you know, a lot of natural elements of the actors themselves come through. So those are the two people that if I could, I would work with.
Well, Spike Lee, if you're out there, Taze yeah. Powell is getting into acting, and we can vouch for him over there at 891.
A lot about these crafts is about creative problem solving. Can you think of an example where you've really had to pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I I had to put a, you know, one time I got to go put a vinyl onto a window. So it's like a decal, you know, a really detailed one, like a ship with all the sails and all that, on this vinyl. So I go to put this thing on the window, and the set was fully dressed. It's like a storefront, you know what I mean? So the inside of the storefront was fully dressed. Now, if I was listening properly, I would have known that the it was supposed to go on the inside. But here I am, like, oh, it's totally dressed in. No, just, you know, so I slap it up on the outside, think I'm done in time, you know, everything's feeling good. And then it's like, uh-oh. The boss is like, you put it on the inside, right? And I'm like, yeah. So we had to pull this thing off the window in the rain, which is really just impossible. Like, how I was able to do it, I don't know. I was with a friend of mine, Steve Smag, if you're out there, thank you for your help. But we did it. We got it off the wall, and or off the window, sorry, and we got in, we sort of undressed the set, put it up, and everything was happy-go-lucky. But I look back at that day, that 15-hour day was a challenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are some sources of inspiration for you? Because as an artist, it's not just at work that you're seeking inspiration and being creative. How do you keep that stoked?
That's a great question. Yeah, I my family's a huge source of inspiration. Music. I love music. My background, my African American roots are a huge source of inspiration for me. That's always something that has been a bit, you know, especially with music, jazz music. It's always something that I've painted paintings about, I suppose. And so it's been a big motivation for me. And also just, as I talked about before, I guess that big picture of a career and of a journey as an artist, just to keep building, and I would like to be able to look back, or have my children be able to look back at a great legacy one day.
So on that legacy note, you have, is your company called Sepia Creative?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Sepia, yes.
Yeah, so can you tell us maybe what your next series is going to be?
Yeah, well, I mean, two things that are coming. So I'm working on a fashion line. So that's something that is in the works, and it's going to be coming shortly. And the next series of paintings, I will just say it has to do with streets. So I'm getting away from, and I don't mean like the streets, like street scenes, you know what I mean? So I'm getting away from, not necessarily getting away from painting people, but just, this won't necessarily be a major focus on the people. It'll be a more focus on the setting.
And taking that inspiration of street scenes, it brings my mind to filmmaking. I think of Francois Truffaut and his big, lively scenes, and there's so much going on in each part of the frame. And I could see how that would transfer absolutely into...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going bigger as an artist with my pictures now, and trying to capture the whole scene and not just, you know, a portrait. I've slowly gotten bigger and bigger with my artwork.
So I think we're kind of coming to the end of it. So thank you for coming in today, Taze, and giving us a peek at your inspiration and your vision. And best of luck with your fine art and your acting.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It's been awesome. It's been great fun. And yeah, hopefully many people get to hear this.
And that's a wrap for another episode of Apple Box Talks.
For more episodes and to find your fit in the film and TV industry, check out ourwork.ca.